Please join me in the prayer of the day. God of peace, still our anxious hearts, calm our wandering minds, relax our tense hands, open our waiting souls, speak to us your word of life, and give us your spirit. Amen. Our New Testament reading is from James chapter 5. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. The word of God for the people of God. Please stand for the Psalter, Psalm 124 on page 846 of the Blue Hymnal. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say,
the Lord who was on our side, if foes rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive, and their enemies kindled against us.
Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us.
The raging waters would have gone over us.
Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the 9th chapter. John said to Jesus, "We saw this man casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he's not following us." And Jesus said, "Don't stop him. No one who does deeds of power in my name will soon after be able to say anything evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water because you bear the name of Christ will not fail to receive the reward. But if anyone should put a stumbling block in the way of one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for them if a millstone had been hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better to enter life maimed than with two hands to be thrown into hell, the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better to enter life lame than to be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It's better to enter the realm of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the flame is never quenched." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa! Jesus is just getting more weird by the week. Now he wants us to cut off our hands and poke out our eyes. This is a place to begin when people tell you that they really take the Bible literally. No, they don't, and they better not. They should take it much more seriously than that. Obviously, Jesus is talking about something deeper. He's talking, apparently, about getting rid of the things that lead us to temptation, right? Whatever causes you to stumble. That seems to have come out of this conflict that the disciples had with somebody else. He sees this conflict going on. Whatever causes you to stumble. Now, an easy way to think of that for some people is, well, get rid of those temptations. You know, if you're eating too many Oreos because they're sitting right there on the counter, don't buy Oreos. Right? We all do that. I hear how many times people take the plate of cookies and put it down at the other end of the table in front of me so that they don't eat them, as if they're there, I can't resist. Well, there's something to that. If you're an alcoholic, just don't have booze in the house. But Jesus isn't talking about your house. He's not talking about conditions outside of you. Your hand, your foot, your eye, those are parts of yourself. Now, he doesn't just mean lopping off body parts. Hands are important, beautiful things that God has created. And you can use your hands to create, to cook, to feed, to bless, to anoint, to caress, to give, to make music. You can also use your hands to hurt, or to steal, or to grasp, or to control. Maybe that's the part that God wants us to get rid of. The hand in us that wants to cling. You know, when you want things, or you want things to go your way, or you want to be in control, when we get afraid, we cling. Maybe it's the clinging that Jesus says to get rid of. Feet are wonderful things. They hold us up. They take us places. They allow us to go on journeys. They allow us to walk with Jesus. They bring us closer to people that we care about. We can use them to dance. We could also use them to run away. Sometimes we just want to run away from our problems or our difficulties or our pain or other people's pain. Sometimes the moment that we're in just doesn't let us not be afraid. We're afraid of being in this moment. So we want to run away. We spend how much of our time rehearsing something that already happened or anticipating something that might happen that we do or don't want to have happen instead of simply being present to what is? How many times do we become upset or annoyed with somebody else because they're not the way we want them to be? We wish they were more like this or more like that. And then we give all our attention to who we wish they would be instead of giving ourselves to them as they are. We run away from them. Maybe it's that running away. Those are the feet that Jesus wants to cut off. Eyes are the most beautiful, wonderful things. With them we can see, we can perceive, we can understand, we can read, and we can express ourselves. I don't know if there's anything as magic as eye contact. We can also use our eyes in hurtful ways. We can give people the look. We can make people feel like they're left out just by the way we look at them. We can judge with our eyes. Last week, Isaiah talked about the servant of God who does not judge according to appearances. Well, you can use your eyes and do that. You can use that dualistic thinking that our ego is so good at and deciding this is good, that's bad. This looks like something I like, that looks like something I don't like. And we can start to judge people. Good, bad, gay, straight, my kind, your kind, liberal, conservative. We've got all these boxes. We can use our eyes to judge. Maybe those are the eyes that Jesus wants us to blind. Those energies within us. Now, I don't know if we can ever overcome that energy of temptation. I don't know how much we can get rid of all those urges. Sometimes they're just there. But when I think about those, it occurs to me that they all come from the same place. That urge to cling or to control, the urge to run away, the urge to judge. They seem to me to come from a place of fear. Fear that I am not okay the way I am. It's not so much that clinging is not so much about needing more appliances. I need more of myself. I'm not okay the way I am. I need more importance or more holiness or more goodness or more something. If I imagine myself standing before God, I'm a little afraid that I don't have whatever it takes for God to love me. That's the fearful place that all of these things come from. I'm afraid that this moment isn't going to be good enough. I need to entertain myself with something else. I'm afraid that this person is going to be too hard to love as they are. So I'm going to fuss with the way I wish they were. I'm afraid of letting things just be what they are. I need to judge them, whether they're good or bad, because I'm judging myself whether I'm good or bad, and I'm afraid I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. I need to do something about this. I can't just let it be. That, I think, is the unquenchable fire that Jesus is talking about. Just like he's certainly not talking about literally cutting off your hand, he's also literally not talking about a place with fire and a devil that pokes you when you go and you die if you do bad things. That's just as stupid as the idea of chopping off your hand. What he means is that unquenchable fire of thinking that I'm not enough. If I really believe that I am not enough, nothing will satisfy that. I could be Pope Francis, I could be Saint Francis, and I still wouldn't be good enough for myself. That's the part that Jesus wants to heal. And what Jesus spends his ministry doing is letting people know, showing them with his hands, taking them there with his feet, letting them see with his eyes, you are enough. Whatever it is that you have, whoever it is that you are, whatever it is that is in you or is missing, you have what God loves. You are enough. Whatever this moment contains, it is enough in which to encounter God. You don't need to run away. It's okay. Whatever this world is, whatever these people are, whatever the moment contains, whatever I have, I don't need to judge that. It's good enough. It's good. Stop judging. Let it go. I think the root of all of those temptations is my fear that I am not enough, that my life doesn't have enough meaning, that I don't have enough significance or worth. And Jesus simply says, it is enough. You're okay. Relax. Let it go. And the degree to which those anxieties feel like they're a part of me, if I have sort of held myself up to high standards because I'm afraid of not being good enough, then it's going to feel like cutting off a part of myself to let those standards go. Because then I'm afraid that I'm just going to be an immoral nobody. It feels like cutting off a part of myself to just let it go. And in that, trust that there's enough. That God gives you enough grace. That this moment holds enough blessing, that reality as it is good enough, even for God. It can certainly be good enough for us. That's what sets me free from the hell of that unquenchable fire, that fear that drives those temptations. Maybe that's what Jesus means when he says, "You will all be salted with fire." Salt is good, but when it's lost its saltiness, how can it be restored? Be full of salt. Be at peace with one another. Good enough. It's that simple. Will you pray with me? God, hold our anxieties in your steady hands. Help us to trust that we are indeed enough, that we do not lack goodness or meaning or worth. Help us to trust your abundant grace and be salted with your love, on fire, not with fear, but gratitude. God of love, we thank you for your infinite grace. Take us as we are and set us free. Live in us so that we might be the people you have already created us to be. Gracious God, we give you thanks and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.